This is an exclusive interview from Leeds Student Radio.
You're listening to Leeds Student Radio. I'm Lissy and I'm here with Jasmine, the new editor of The Griffin at Leeds University Union. And together we're going to be interviewing this afternoon Sir Alan Langlands, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Leeds. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
Now, we've got a couple of questions for you between Jasmine and myself. We're going to be interviewing you regarding the current state of the university, how you feel it's going. You've been in this position for a year now. What have been your greatest achievements over the last academic year?
Greatest achievements, I think, are that we've made real progress in our research funding. We've had a few big grant wins, particularly in the area of data, big data. We've made some good appointments, I think, and we've remained strong through this summer in our student recruitment.
Just with that in mind, obviously, Leeds has got a fantastic academic reputation, and that in itself speaks. But what would you say makes Leeds stand out from other universities, maybe even other Russell Group universities?
I think we've got a very distinct approach to student education. I think the fusion of the curricular and co-curricular is very strong here. I think the partnership with the Students' Union and the wider student body is strong, and that really influences the way in which we develop education here. I think we've got some great research going on, and I think we've got tremendous breadth. We cover almost every subject area, and that gives the university, I think, real strength at a time when a lot of the most exciting things in education and research are happening where disciplines intersect.
Now, you mentioned their co-curricular activities. Do you think that the National Student Survey statistic that says that 88% of final year students at the University of Leeds are satisfied with the quality of their course and also their experience at Leeds, are you pleased with this statistic?
I'm pleased in the sense that it's gone up a little bit from last year. I think, you know, almost across the board, we're scoring more than 80% in most schools, or every school, I think. I think we could do better. I think we should always be striving to do better. The margins are very fine in the student survey. I mean, most universities collect somewhere between 85 and 90%. So I think we're doing well. We could do better. We shouldn't be complacent about it.
Obviously, the latest influx of students are paying a lot more than previous academic years have. For example, I paid £3,000 roughly for my tuition. So with that in mind, what do you think the new students who are paying £9,000 are getting that the £3,000 students aren't or didn't?
Well, I mean, I think that's a tricky question because the change is not on the cost of higher education. The change is on the burden of who pays for it. So the change from your time when you're paying £3,000 to now is that the state are paying much less, but the cost to the university is roughly the same. So the students are having to pay for more of their own education, albeit with the underpinning of the loan scheme. However, I think the increase in the fee has forced universities' hands to try and improve their educational offering and to improve their facilities. And what we are planning to do, I think we'd have been doing it anyway, but the investments in the library, the investments coming up in the Students' Union, new social sciences building opening up or reopening this summer, all of that is geared up to try and provide students with the best facilities possible.
And do you see the fees changing at all in the near or distant future?
Very hard to read. I think a lot will depend on what happens at the general election. They've been static for the last two or three years since they were introduced, so there's been no attempt to add inflation. It proved to be a very controversial issue for the last time round with the existing coalition government, so I think it'll be very interesting to see where the political parties position themselves ahead of the general election.
And where do you stand with the fees? Are you happy with them being at 9k, or would you like to see an increase or a decline in the fees?
Well, I was in a tricky position because I was the chief executive of the Higher Education Funding Council when fees were coming in. But nonetheless, I did speak quite publicly against the increase. I think the increase was too much too soon. I think there should have been a more even share of public funding and student contributions. So my own sense at that time in my mind, my sense would have been going to have gone for a fee for of say five thousand or maybe 6,000, but with a much higher public funding contribution.
And with that in mind, we've also got the problematic nature of the privatisation of the student loan book at the moment. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think the loan book is the big problem that the government face in terms of the sustainability of higher education funding. So in loading the a lot of the costs onto students, they also, because of the kickback on that, provided actually very generous student support systems and very generous loan arrangements. And the fact is, will they pay back in time? So the loan book will build to, my guess would be, £130, £140 billion before it starts getting paid down. I'm not supportive of the privatisation of the loan book because I just don't see it's practical. Where the repayment of loans is income contingent, that creates, I think, real difficulties as to how you would do it, how you would split it up. So I might be happy to buy the loan book for the University of Leeds and the other Russell Group universities, but I'm not sure I'd want to buy the loan book for the whole of the higher education sector. And I think part of the strength of UK higher education is the diversity and provision. So I'm very wary about the sale of the loan book, and I think the government have moved away from it.
Continuing on the subject of fees, while the fee is quite significantly increased from what it was when Jasmine and I were students, we are still seeing cuts within the university. Now, there has been a proposed cut to the disabled students' allowance. I was wondering what your thoughts are on this proposition.
The cut to the disabled student allowance, not confirmed yet, but is likely to be a government cut. And the notion in government is that universities should pay for this. And I think we will pay for it. We're in this university very proud of the services and support we provide to disabled students, and we have no intention of reducing that.
So you can ensure that our students won't be negatively affected by this cut?
100%.
I'd like to move on and talk about your personal experiences a little bit more. So with that in mind, can you remember your time as a fresher, and what would you say was your biggest fresher's blunder even?
Okay, so my time as a fresher was almost 44 years ago today. So times were very different. This is the moment where it's quite good to have a selective memory loss. I would imagine at that time my fresher's blunder was alcohol related, but I think things have changed, and things have changed for the better. And I think the whole fresher's experience now is much more than just a big party. And I think things have improved since my time.
Do you have any advice for the 7,000-8,000 freshers that will be descending on the University of Leeds campus in sort of 2 weeks' time, really?
Yeah, I'm sure the last person they want advice from is me. but I think Freshers Week and time at university is about balance. And I think finding a way of balancing the academic, the fun, and the practical seems to be important. So, you know, sure, you can have a fantastic time during Freshers Week, but it's also quite good to figure out how the library works and to take advantage of, you know, anything that's going in support of, you know, developing study skills and all the rest of it. But, you know, first and foremost, have fun, but think about that, and think about the practicalities of being at university, about where you live, how you operate. Make sure you think about kind of security when you're out about late at night. Think about the financial aspects of higher education, which become, you know, a big issue for students working here. So concentrate on the academic, the fun, and the practical, but for the first bit, have lots of fun.
Yeah, of course, you're saying that you've had 44 years of not being a fresher now. So with that noted, what would you say in terms of a degree now? Would you still have picked the same degree? Would you pick something else now? Would you like an entirely new discipline at this time in your life?
So I studied human biology, essentially, genetics. But I think now the big issues are around environmental sciences and the world's kind of natural resources. So if I were to pick now in Leeds, and I've looked at all 560 courses in the undergraduate curriculum, I would pick environmental sciences because of its relevance to the world ahead of us, and I'd take advantage of the new electives, the new discovery themes, and my favourite discovery theme would be language and intercultural understanding. So I'd want to do environmental sciences and maybe learn Mandarin or Arabic or something like that and build my kind of understanding of the world in all its dimensions. What I'd really, if I really, really wanted to study anything or kind of reinvent myself, I would like to be an architect, but we don't have an architecture course in Leeds, although we do have a very good architectural engineering course. Mm-hmm. But if I were to rewrite history, I would like to be an architect.
So if we begin to look forward at the year ahead,
yeah,
there have been a lot of building works over the summer, but also over the last 12 months. We've got a new library scheduled to open next spring. Do you see spring 2015 as being a realistic goal for the Laidlaw Library to be opened?
Oh yeah, I'm absolutely sure it will be opened by then. I think it's going really well at the moment. You can see how much it's advanced even during the holidays. So I'd be hoping in the early part of next year, yeah.
Now, it's positioned next to a nightclub. Do you have any thoughts on this?
I think that's not helpful. So kind of interesting to have a library sandwiched between two churches, one of which is the chaplaincy and the other of which is a nightclub. I'm told, I've looked into this, and I'm told that the university actually sold the lease of that second church and, you know, subsequently became a nightclub, and I think it's been owned by different people. And one of the things I've been asking the estates people is whether it's possible maybe to buy that back, because I think it is a facility that we could use for other purposes.
Now, the date is propositioned for spring next year. This comes quite close to undergraduate deadlines, essays, exam period. Do you see this as a hindrance for students?
Oh, I don't think it's a hindrance, because when the new library opens, it will be an additional facility. The Brotherton, the Edward Boyle Library, the departmental libraries will all still be in play. I, you know, if you're worried about disruption, I think the disruption might come a year later, because as soon as the new library is functioning, we're going to have to upgrade and improve the Edward Boyle Library. And that, I think, you know, could be quite disruptive. So maybe over, it'll have to be, a library has to stay in use, so it's going to be a kind of phased a phased program, maybe with a lot of work, you know, concentrated during the holidays. But at least we'll have the relief of the new library and the Brotherton continuing.
On a national level, I'd say there's one thing that everyone is talking about at the moment, and that's the Scottish independence debate. Obviously, you're living here now, but if you could cast your vote, what would you do?
I'm really worried about this, and I'm really annoyed that I can't cast my vote, because I've lived much more than half my life in Scotland. I've worked there. I'm Scottish. So at home on Sunday, we had lunch with all our kind of family, which is unusual, only happens once or twice a year. And my daughter was the only member of the family who now lives and works in Edinburgh. So she was under great pressure to make sure she cast the family vote in the right way. Interestingly, we were split in our family, but I would vote against independence strongly. I believe in the UK. I think it's good for the UK research community, for example. It's good for higher education to be one nation. So very worried about the independence vote.
I'd like to talk about graduates now, if that's okay with you. Now, you've worked, as you mentioned before, for the HEFCE, and you also hold a position within the N8 Research Partnership. Do you think that economic growth is an important thing for you as Vice-Chancellor of the University of Leeds? And do you think our university is doing enough to help graduates find employment after they leave here?
I do think it's essential. I think, so we've talked about education and research. I think the other main function of the university is to support economic, social and cultural development. And I give equal weight to all three of these things. But economic development is important. I think the university does a lot. It does a lot in terms of knowledge exchange through our kind of research. It does a lot in company formation. We have lots of university spin-out companies. We have students who start companies whilst they're students here. We support student development in all sorts of ways. Question, are we doing enough? Probably not. I think definitely not. I think this is an area where we can't be complacent. I think we have to think very hard about how we can support our students into employment.
And from a departmental point of view, do you think there's anything we can do within the university in particular? I know the union thinks about this a lot. What about the university academically? How can you improve this?
Well, I think academically, providing students with the widest possible experience, we're back to the idea of the curricular and co-curricular activities, ensuring that the career service is functioning at its very best and supporting students, providing students with opportunities and the kind of life skills that they need to develop to support employment. So there's more we can do. I think we're kind of on this. Every university is worried about this. We want to do our very best. It's quite difficult to get to the bottom of the statistics, though. You know, we have a lot of students here who go into the cultural industries, into kind of environmental work with environmental organisations, and there tends to be a bit of a time lag between kind of leaving university and getting good solid employment in these industries. You know, often need some sort of internship or some sort of kind of voluntary period or some sort of kind of induction before you get your first job in these areas. So I think there may be something about our subject mix that makes us look not so good in this area, where we actually are pretty good in most subjects.
So you're saying we should take those statistics with a pinch of salt?
I don't think we should take them with a pinch of salt, but I think we need to understand them and we need to ensure that we're tackling this in the right way. You mentioned the Students' Union. I think we work closely with the Students' Union on this. And, you know, where I meet and other senior people here, meet with the schools, the academic schools. This is one of the top five issues we discuss.
I also wanted to ask about the graduate opportunities in the north of England in particular. I know a lot of people migrate down south after they've graduated from the University of Leeds. Do you think we as a university can do anything to improve economic growth up here in Yorkshire, but also in the north of England in general?
I don't think we can do it in isolation. But I think we can do it working with the city, working with the industries in the city, working with cultural institutions. So, you know, we have a number of companies in the city that we work closely with. They're always keen to recruit our graduates, but we don't have enough. And I think you're absolutely right about this migration south. I talked to a lot of people who've graduated from Leeds who like Leeds, who stay on here for maybe the first 6-9 months after graduation in the hope that they'll pick up a graduate level job. So they maybe do other things and then finally they kind of crack and, you know, feel that the main opportunities are usually, you know, we talk about the South, but we really mean London and move. So I think it would be great to do more on that front. And I'm certainly talking to the Leeds City Region Enterprise Partnership with the City Council and others about seeing how the university could contribute to kind of boosting the economic well-being of the region.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Vice-Chancellor. We've really enjoyed this interview and we look forward to seeing what the next year has in store for us.
Well, thank you. And I guess the final thing to say is good luck to all our new students and indeed our returning students. Have a great time and we look forward to seeing you all.